This is Business Rockstars. I'm Brittany Lehman, and my guest today is Natasha Miller, President and CEO of Entire Productions. Natasha, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about your entrepreneurial background and what led you and inspired you to start Entire Productions.
Well, I think I was an entrepreneur at 15,
okay. And
we did not use that language
right. Back
then. It didn't exist. I'm not sure when it started coming up, but I was a classical violinist.
Oh, wow.
And a singer. And at 15, I started playing professional gigs with my string quartet that I put together. And the first event that I was paid for was the inauguration for the governor in Des Moines, Iowa.
How fun.
So that sparked a little idea of how I could have my own little mini business growing up. And then in college, I started getting really savvy about marketing and put ads in the wedding magazines.
Okay.
And did a wedding fair, which that was just at the precipice of where weddings were starting to become a very high dollar event. And I got so double, triple, quadruple booked, instead of turning away that business, I would hire my professors and other musicians to play in a group that I manage. So I would tell my prospective client, I am personally not available, but I'll bring in a group that's as good as I am and probably better and manage them.
So yeah. What was the first step you took after you realized, okay, I'm really serious, I'm going to start my own company?
Wow. I did that from, okay, so officially really around 18 is really when I started full pedal doing that extra booking. And all I ever thought I was going to be in life was a professional musician, so violinist and jazz vocalist. So I really never thought I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a business owner, I'm going to have a company, I'm going to have people work for me. And it just started kind of blossoming on its own, very organically. And then in about 2001, I made it official and got a business license. But I really was a sole proprietor for a good 10 years.
Okay.
I had some freelancers and some interns, but I never considered it to be a business that would scale and grow. The turning point was when my daughter was in high school and she didn't really need me as much around.
Yeah.
So I was then physically going out to marketing and networking events in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just when it started really even more exploding. And once in 2009, when I rebranded and relaunched, I could see that the business was going to be bigger than I ever thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I started slowly considering it to be a bona fide, real, serious business.
And you rebranded and relaunched in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that, because that takes a lot of work and a lot of effort.
It was a lot of work and effort, but it was so amazing. So I had taken a course online at the Berklee School of Music, an entrepreneurship course.
Okay.
I wasn't even sure if I could take the entrepreneurship course because I wasn't sure I was an entrepreneur.
Okay.
Right? So I had three businesses that I currently had. I had a music publishing company, a small record label, and Entire Productions,
okay. My
event production company. And I had to decide on which one I would focus on. And I was like, I can't decide. I'm going to do them all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, quickly I realized that that was not going to work
out.
So I focused on Entire Productions. And I decided then that I was going to put a lot of weight and energy in there. So I redid the logo, redid the website, hired a programmer, did a huge back end with all of our artists. So we have a very robust website. And we put on a huge party at the Oakland Rotunda that was completely sponsored. And it was amazing.
Wow. And when you started, were you ever afraid to fail?
No.
Never?
Mm-mm. It never occurred to me.
What advice do you have for entrepreneurs, people who want to start, grow, or fund their business, who are really afraid of failure, and then they just end up not starting a business because they let it kind of take over?
Oh, gosh. Man, I would say, I mean, certainly there were some failures in my lifetime, but nothing that I'm ever looking back on and spending even a millisecond on.
Right.
So I would say, somebody who wants to be an entrepreneur, you know, you really have to love what you're doing, period, end of story. Otherwise, you're throwing a lot of time into something that's going to make you feel bad. So if you are so passionate about it and you know you're good at it or you know you can get good at it, because I'm not one to really encourage people that just simply don't have, like, the talent, perhaps,
right.
in something that they have a passion for.
Right.
those things they can be passionate about and support in another way. Man, I would just say go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And when did you start this business?
Officially started this business in 2001.
That's amazing. So you're seasoned, you've been in this a while. What was the biggest challenge that you had to face and overcome when you were starting Entire Productions?
When I was starting it, I really didn't think about hiring employees. And I really didn't for a long time. I managed a lot on my own. It was a great thing because I wore all the hats and mm-hmm. I knew a little bit, enough to be dangerous, and every single thing. I knew how to plug in a PA and mix channels. And but I think the single most difficult thing about owning a business is hiring people to work for you, mm-hmm. especially where I live in the San Francisco Bay Area. It's really difficult to... for any business to find great people to work for them because the economy's really great now.
Yeah.
And everyone has a great job and there's no place to live and it's very expensive. So
right.
that's the biggest challenge.
And entrepreneurship is often glamorized, you know, being your own boss, making mm-hmm. your own hours. What's the truth behind being your own boss?
I'm not sure how glamorous it is, but I really do get to make my own hours. I just happen to like to work a lot. Mm-hmm. And I really love my business. I love what we do. So there are lots of hours, especially if you're trying to wear all of the hats. Mm-hmm. And again, you have to love what you do so that you are enjoying the time that you're putting into it.
Right. And what new things are you introducing to your company to enhance culture and experience?
Yeah, I'm always excited about improving culture and now finally understanding what culture really is.
Right.
A few years ago, I thought it was you had to have Google's culture, yeah. right? So you don't have to have that. So this year, we have changed from a simple plan to a 401k plan, which I'm really proud about, and we're doing a matching. No one really in my industry, especially at my size, is offering that.
Right.
Not no one, but not as many people. We are offering a paid volunteer day for each employee for the volunteer service that they want to do, mm-hmm. as well as an all-team volunteer service day together.
Oh, that's great.
So many things. We do an every other month team bonding experience that each person gets to eventually plan on their own. So
oh, awesome.
We've done Krav Maga self-defense. We've done a burlesque dance day. That was interesting. We did a hike up in the mountains in Mount Tam that was so hot and I almost died.
Oh my gosh.
And so that's really fun. Everyone gets to really show their side of what they do on their free time and what they want to bring us into. It makes them feel great, gets everyone getting to know each other a lot better.
So you're a female in business. What advice do you have to other female entrepreneurs who are kind of just breaking into their own and starting their own business?
Mm-hmm. The advice I would give to any entrepreneur, mm-hmm. no matter what, is do what I didn't do, and that is really study, learn, be voracious in finding out what you don't know. I was proud for the first 10 years of sort of doing it on my own via gut
right.
and intuition and instinct. And I did have success doing that, and I'm proud of that. Mm-hmm. But I could have learned a lot sooner had I taken some certain classes that I eventually did, found great advisors and great mentors, and read blogs and books. So I was a little stubborn, and I see entrepreneurs being a little stubborn. And sometimes I think it works for them, and a lot of times they're just stepping on their own feet.
Yeah. If you could give three tips or pieces of advice to aspiring entrepreneurs or yeah. business owners, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to do your research and don't wait to find a mentor or an advisor. There's no waiting period. So ask somebody that you admire. Ask somebody that is actually of service to you, like Pacific Community Ventures. So that's number one. Number two is make sure that your business entity is solid and intact, and maybe even trademark your name. Mm-hmm. We did that a couple of years ago, but I've been in business for 19 years, so should have done that before.
Yeah.
And the third is this might be getting a little ahead of myself or the new entrepreneur, but this year we're looking at hiring a fractional CFO.
Okay.
And really looking at our numbers and budgeting and forecasting and having this really holistic, beautiful look at what the business is. So we did a great product and service forever,
right,
and somehow I kept it afloat,
yeah,
and profitable.
Right.
Now I'm looking for the big time. We're going for $20 million. That's my goal,
okay,
my revenue goal. And I can't do that without some sort of CFO, so fractional. So before fractional would be maybe a CFO to go.
Right.
Yeah.
And where can people learn more about Entire Productions?
Our Instagram is amazing. So that's at Entire Productions and also at entireproductions.com.
Natasha, I'm so excited to see where Entire Productions is in the next 5 or 10 years.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
This is Business Rockstars, and this is my wonderful guest, Natasha Miller, President and CEO of Entire Productions.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, healthcare, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your healthcare. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year. A month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 84.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Jesse Krieger is our guest. He's the founder and publisher of Lifestyle Entrepreneur Press. These aren't the only books you published, are they?
No, sir.
No.
Couldn't fit them all in my suitcase.
Well, that's a good thing. Get a Kindle.
Yeah.
You can't show that. I'm just trying to think of when all this happened, because all of a sudden, I'm trying to think of what the first self-help book was. Listening to Prozac or one of those, way back then, the Bible certainly, but now they're everywhere and most of them are pretty good.
Some of them are. I mean, it's a big market in the US especially. There's a voracious readership for personal development, self-help books. I can't say I read all of them, but you know, there's some classics like Napoleon Hill and Dale
Napoleon Carnegie Hill is great.
Yeah.
Now here we go. This is your book, Lifestyle Entrepreneur.
Yes.
You've read this one, right?
I wrote that one.
Okay. And Mind Lift, Mental Fitness for the Modern Mind.
Yeah, that one's about to drop.
And this one, Daniel Munro, just out?
Just about to come out, yeah.
And what's this about? Nothing to Lose.
Nothing to Lose. That's the first part of a trilogy called the 3X Confidence Series. And this first book is really about how to live like you have nothing to lose, how to take bold action, go after the things that you want in life, and do it unapologetically.
I love this title, F the Rules.
Yep.
It doesn't
I don't
say
know
F.
If we can get that one
Strength from Within.
Yeah.
Good titles. And Forgiving Love. Shouldn't it be Forgiving Love?
It's actually a play on words.
Yeah.
Yeah. That author initially wrote the book Healing with Love around 20 years ago, Leonard Laskow.
I know that book.
Do you?
Yeah. I think the first one was Abraham Maslow.
Yeah.
That wrote about the seven needs of a person. Anyway, so it's a huge business and you're taking advantage of it. Are you making any money?
Yeah, we are, because we always take the view that the book isn't the primary revenue generator,
mm-hmm,
right? It's one part of a broader business and brand. And you know, with each author, with each book that we publish, we look at how does that book play into their next one or two business development objectives. So whether that's filling seminar seats, having coaching clients, personal training, in the case of Strength from Within, always looking like uniquely with each author, how that book launch can feed into the next 6 to 12 months of business growth and getting the media opportunities, getting their name out there.
How important is it to publish again once you've written the book?
Like to do a second book?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I haven't, but I took the route of starting a publishing company.
Right.
You know, with some of our authors, we're on to the second books, and some of them are working on trilogies now. So, you know, I feel blessed to have long-term relationships with our authors and that we're continuing to look further down the road.
Now, how do they find you? There's so many authors out there.
Some, honestly, yeah, that's true. I mean, the initial batch of authors sort of followed my success and my book with Lifestyle Entrepreneur, and now it's just become a mix. I do a lot of speaking, a lot of inbound referrals. I put a lot out there on the internet. I've done a lot with online marketing. Mm-hmm. So it's a mix of those things.
How much time do you spend on social media?
For business or pleasure?
For business.
Not a ton. Maybe 3 to 4 hours a week. Mm-hmm. But we also have a team that handles some social media. And I think of more of creating great content and then pushing it out through those channels. Mm-hmm. So like forget a segment from Business Rockstars, right? We'll push that out through social media. Other videos that we create that I'm on, we use that just as a distribution channel. Personally, I don't know. I check in a few times a day on Facebook.
Right. What's your pitch when you speak?
I say that, as a publishing company, we have a vision to elevate global consciousness through individual empowerment. And, you know, our mission is to work with authors who have a bigger vision for their business and brand and to be their publishing partner and a strategic partner. Whereas a lot of publishers just have the view of, you know, how can we sell more books? How can mm-hmm. we sell more units? We're looking at how can we develop a long-term relationship. Almost like in the music space, you had A&R men, right?
Right.
I like to think of what I do as sort of authors and repertoire. Finding authors, working with their ideas, shaping them into a book, and then helping them launch that out.
Still A&R, right?
Right.
And you're watching Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. This is Jesse Krieger, and he's the founder and publisher of Lifestyle Entrepreneurs Press. You really kind of walked into a great career path here, because it seems like now more than ever, people want to change their lives, especially people in business, and empower themselves or empower others.
Absolutely. I mean, I resonate very strongly with that. It's most of our publishing focus is on personal development, entrepreneurship, giving resources to people that want to take steps to improve themselves, their life situation, and become entrepreneurs.
How many books, I mean, here's a guy who says he's a recovered meathead.
He has a unique approach to fitness, that one.
But how do you get like this book out? I've never heard of this book, but I'd love to hear about it. How do you get this out?
That was actually an introduction from a friend of mine who, the author Eric Bakey, was working on this book, and it was in a rough form, a new approach to fitness, no weights, getting in the best shape of your life. Mm-hmm. So I talked to him. I actually started doing his workout regimen, and it changed my own experience of health and fitness. So I said, all right, there's something here. And from that point, we created illustrations, did a bunch of designs, and ultimately helped him start his personal training business.
How many one-arm push-ups can you do?
I can't do any. Those are extremely hard. Extremely hard. But I'm working up to them.
So what's next for this company? I mean, you can survive for quite a while on these books, but what would you do next?
Well, we're going to expand pretty aggressively into in-store distribution. I have a vision to have a book on
I've had a book out, a New York Times bestseller, and it was easy to get into books because I have a name and all this. But how do you get a book into a bookstore and get it placed right?
It's a combination of having the relationship with the distributors, with the book buyers, and having a marketing budget and having a good angle. And I think if they see...
So by relationship, you mean budget?
Both, yeah. Right. Mostly that. You got to have a budget.
Right.
The relationship helps. But I think if they see that there's a bigger push that's being done for the book and by the author themselves, that helps the story a lot.
It's such a complicated business because there's too many people depending on the other people, don't you think?
It can be. It can be convoluted. I try to keep it pretty simple. At this stage, I have a personal relationship with each of our authors. Mm-hmm. As we grow more, maybe that'll be less personal, less intimate, but I still see myself being very involved in each of the books.
Wanted my book in the airport because that's where I buy a lot of my books. And now it's been in there for almost a year. Now I'm saying, get rid of it. I'm tired of looking at myself in the thing. And then you go check.
It sells a lot of books, right?
It did sell a lot of books. What's next for the company?
We're going to move more into in-store distribution and provide even more marketing support for our authors. Mm. I think with some of the books that we have coming out now, we've had success with pre-launch campaigns, doing crowdfunding, other interesting initiatives that help validate the audience, validate the market size for a book, even before we launch it.
What's the website?
LifestyleEntrepreneursPress.com.
LifestyleEntrepreneursPress.com. And what's on that website?
That's general information about our publishing company, links to each of our books, a description of the service, the way in which we work with authors, which is a done-for-you publishing and book launch.
All right. What, in your opinion, are the two things that every entrepreneur should do?
I think they should think big and take bold action. Make bold requests for the things that they want, mm-hmm. because if somebody says no, you're in the same place you're in. If they say yes, you get a quantum leap forward.
Right.
And I think to reframe the view of what is failure. I mean, I try so many things that don't work, especially with book marketing, publishing in a fast-moving space. Not taking those personally is really integral to moving forward quickly.
That's the main thing. Jesse, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Pat.
Great to have you on. I'm Pat O'Brien. This is Business Rockstars. We'll see you next time.
This report is brought to you by Blistex. Odor Eaters is back for their 44th annual fun yet smelly rotten sneaker contest. All participants at this national contest raised a stink by showing off their foul-smelling sneakers at the annual event. Children traveled from near and far to compete at this year's contest hosted at Ripley's Believe It or Not for a chance to win the national smelly title, $2,500, and tickets to the Broadway show Aladdin. But only one lucky pair of rotten sneakers could be crowned the winner, and they belong to 15-year-old Seneca Slocum from Eagle River, Alaska. And while scientists thought that the human nose could only detect about 10,000 different smells, they recently discovered that this number increased to 1 trillion, making it possible for our judges to find a new foul scent on every sniff. George Aldridge, NASA's chief sniffer.
This year's participants really brought the smells with the foulest of odors. Kids are known for getting into some stinky messes, but these kids sure have a talent.
For more information, visit odoreaters.com. Again, that's odoreaters.com.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is the man, Tilman Fertitta. He's the chairman and CEO of Landry's and many other companies. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Hey, it's great to be here.
So tell us about your business. What do you do? You own many, many businesses, but I'll let you tell us all about them.
It's great to be in business, and it really is. Lots of concepts. Do over 150 million customers a year, and it's brands from probably, we touch everybody because we hit all the price points.
Many I've been to.
but anything from Mastro's to Bubba Gump, and then in between is a Martin's and a McCormick and a Rainforest and a Saltgrass and a Chart House and
everything.
And they're all company owned. They're all owned by my company. There's no franchisees, there's no licensees except international. Okay. And then the five Golden Nugget casinos also. And then lots of brands from the aquarium to amusement parks. And it's a fun business. Lots of employees. Business is good. And it's fun.
So I'll say the numbers for you because they were on the sheet. $3.4 billion in sales, $3.5 billion worth of assets, and over 60,000 employees. How the heck do you make all of that happen when some people have been in business as long as you and they're still doing the same thing they always did? And they're scaling, getting the same results. There's something that you're doing that's different. You've got a TV show where you actually help people do this. How do you get to that level? What does it take?
It just kind of happened over a period of time, believe it or not. You know, it was great to go public back in 1993. I had 12 restaurants. And God, you know, I was sitting on top of the world. You're sitting there with 12 restaurants. You're making $3 million a year. And gosh, life is good. And then all of a sudden going public with a restaurant company was real popular at the time. So I was public for 18 years. Was you wake up, you know, in August of 93 and you own 12 restaurants. And all of a sudden you look at your stock and you're worth $100 million. So that's the catalyst. And then, you know, I was able to grow it to a $1 billion company as a public company, almost $2 billion. And then when you had the recession in 08 and 09 and all the stocks fell, I took the opportunity to buy it all back myself. Private equity wanted to do it with me, and I maneuvered, financially engineered it where I could take my whole company back private. And that's when I was really able to grow, because coming out of a recession, a lot of stocks were down, Martin's, McCormick & Schmick, Bubba Gump, that I was able to do a lot of acquisitions. So
that's what I love, and I want to point out right there. people like yourself have the mindset that in a down economy and in a recession, that's where there's more opportunity than ever before. And you capitalized on that.
100%. I mean, I'm a cyclical player, okay? You always want to have your cash ready and wait for the recession because that's when you're able to buy. Everybody looks smart when you have a booming market, okay? Regardless if you're public or private. When you can be smart is when it's a down market and say, hey, I can pick this off or I can pick this off. And and that's what me and my team have been really good at, if you want to know the truth. We've had lots of concepts that had organic growth. But if you really look at the value of the company was probably created by being a cyclical player and buying companies when they were down. And but we also had the ability to take those companies and fix them up. You know, you go into a Martin Steakhouse today. It's a different menu. It's a different look. You look at a Chart House, great locations, but reconcepted the logo to the look to the menu, everything. Keep it fresh and change, change, change.
I love that. Change is inevitable, and you learn how to capitalize on that. I've come up with something that I like to do on the show where if you imagine sitting at a table with, and you maybe even have, an Oprah Winfrey, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Tony Robbins, somebody like yourself, which is why this is perfect, and you could take all of their biggest lessons and aha moments from their successes and their failures, I think those lessons would be pretty valuable. So from your perspective, what has been one or two of the biggest aha moments or lessons in a time of failure or success on your journey so far?
Being an opportunist, okay, don't assume anything. And be a cyclical player. And if you take those and the biggest mistake that people make is that when things are really good, they think that they're never going to be bad again. And when things are really bad, they think they're never going to be really good again. So always know when things are good, the bad's coming. And when things are bad, always know the good is coming.
It's an interesting mindset. I love that, though, because it helps for so many of the beginning entrepreneurs out there that don't think like that. I think it's great advice. So let's talk about that. Three things, or more if you want, three things that you feel like the beginning entrepreneur in year one, two, and three that they haven't yet learned because they haven't been in the game as long as you. What are the things they need to know and be prepared for in the future?
Well, one of the things I do with all and doing this television show really gives me the opportunity to mentor people besides buy product, buy their product that gives them an opportunity to really get their company going. You got to know your numbers. And a lot of people go into partners with somebody, whether it's their best friend or whoever. Yeah. But if you know numbers well and you're a financial person, then you better get a partner who knows how to sell and market or knows how to operate whatever you're doing. But a lot of times people go into business together and they both have the same talent.
Because you hire people like you.
Yeah, but you really, for a business to get going, you've got to have, number one, a great product. Yeah. You got to understand the financial side, okay? And then you've got to be able to operate that business. And then you need to have to sell and market that business. And if you don't do all four of those things in the beginning, you're not going to be successful.
Very true. I want to know, and I'm so curious from somebody like yourself, did you have great mentors growing up or did you have to figure it out all on your own?
You know, I really, people have always asked me, who were your mentors? And I really did not have mentors in the beginning. Now, as you get older and smarter, do we all steal little ideas from everybody? Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't care what business you're in, but you as you grow, you're definitely smarter. And I will tell you this. I have lots of young guys work for me, and I love the millennials, and I love the way they're creative, but there is nothing like history, okay? And it's no different as you go get somebody to come in and run my company today with 500 locations and 60,000. I don't care who you are. There's nothing like the history, because I know the history of all 500 of those locations.
Yeah.
Somebody else doesn't. So there's nothing like history, but if you don't change, you will get run over.
Yeah.
And I'd say, how did your company continue to grow and last as long as it has and been successful? Because I preach change, change, change.
I love that. Change, change, change. That's the key from Tillman. Chairman and CEO of Landry's, Tillman Fertitta, is joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Habits and rituals is something I've noticed that successful people in anything, sports, business, life, relationships, health, they all have habits and rituals that are the reason and the reflection of the results they get. Habits and rituals that you either try to teach your employees or habits and rituals in your own life that have improved your quality of your life and your business success. What are some of them?
Well, one of the things is you never tell a customer no. Okay, and that's something I preach. And if I'm talking to a group of 1,000 people, I'll say, walk into one of my restaurants at 8 o'clock on a Saturday night and ask for scrambled eggs. Okay. And
it's not even on the menu.
Not on the menu, but we're going to do it for you. People hate being told no. Yeah. And today, more than ever, it's kind of like, well, this is the way I do it, and you either like it or go somewhere else.
Yeah, we've always done it this way.
Okay, but I hate that, okay? Yeah. You want to lose me? Tell me that. But I love to preach. Once again, you don't assume anything. You never tell a customer no. Now, I might not be able to give you a yes, but I'm going to find a way to maneuver where I don't have to say no, okay? Yeah. And it's all about customer service. It's all about great product, and it's taking care of your customer.
Fantastic advice. How does a normal day look like for somebody like you? You know, for me, a big shift in my perspective was I should only focus on the highest income and impact activities and find some way to, you know, outsource and delegate the low income, low impact, trivial activities. You have 60,000 employees, so you're the master of this. How do you decide where to allocate your time and energy?
Yeah, it's everywhere. And I'll be... Some people can multitask and some can't. And it's not something you develop. You were just born with it. But the other day, my general counsel was in my office and we were going over something. And he said, do you realize you just handled 6 totally different divisions of the company in about a 2-minute period? You were picking up the phone, yelling out to this person, bringing this person in while they were just sitting there. And you try to put your arms around everything, but you have to delegate. Okay. You can't be running a company like this and not delegate. But at the same time, you do get involved in the most minuscule details. I mean, I did a tasting yesterday for a new restaurant and went through every dish with them and gave them my input. I'll still look at menu changes. I'll look and see what we're paying in a position for this person. It's just, you just touch whatever you feel like you need to touch at that time. And your people learn that this is how far I can go in my area. And if not, maybe I need to go check with him. So I operate with 7 COOs and they all answer up to me.
Interesting.
So that's the way I operate.
I love that. Well, last question as we wrap up, I'm super curious to see your perspective on this is if you have so many different businesses. So if you had to start over with nothing except for the knowledge that you have, no connections, no money, you had to start over with nothing but the knowledge you have, what business space would you get into right now? What industry? You're like, I own 87 different businesses already.
I do. And I truly don't know, okay? I don't know because I know that I could probably even do some other things better than what I'm doing, but I love my empire that I have.
Yeah.
But I can tell you this, the one true statement that is said out there, there's a lot of entrepreneurs that have gotten lucky because they happen to go to work for a company at the right time and they really weren't the brain behind it, but made a bunch of money. But if you take your true 500 entrepreneurs out there who truly built it with their own hands and building their company, and it was a business that wasn't losing $10 million a year, but yet their stock was worth $1 billion. Okay. Yeah. If you take those 500 people, they'll have all the money again. Hmm. Okay. You either have it or you don't. You're born with it, okay?
I've heard
and
that
people
before.
People say, "Well, what about if I go get my MBA?" And my deal is, you know what? You know if you need your MBA, all right? If you don't have that God-given gift, go get your MBA.
Go get it,
okay? Because then you really do learn a lot in getting your MBA. But a lot of people doesn't mean anything.
Wise words from a true business rock star. Thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Glad to be here, Mark.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Why would you do it yourself when you can call a pro? I'm Alex Worley with the Business Rockstars Minute. How many times have you done this to yourself? Thought you could make it happen and realize later when it's too late, you made it even worse because you didn't call a pro. We do this in business as well. Legal work, bookkeeping, even website development. Instead of trying to fix things yourself and save a few dollars, call in a pro. All too often, entrepreneurs only look at the bottom line of what something costs. Stop doing this. Remember, a professional might be expensive, an amateur could cost you a fortune. Would you take your sick child to an amateur doctor? No. Would you have your house built by an amateur contractor? No. Don't settle for subpar. Always get a professional. It will pay off in the long run. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Hey, my friend's retail store was the victim of IoT password theft.
Yep. Cybercriminals are taking over security cameras, payment systems, and other IoT devices by exploiting vulnerabilities.
What if they target us and our dispersed network?
We're secured with Barracuda. We have advanced firewalls for our sites, enhanced security for our cloud infrastructure, and total email protection.
Such a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
Message and data rates may apply.
What if there were a top-ranked business degree that gave you access to world-renowned faculty leaders and mentors, but on your schedule? The W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University is now accepting high-quality applicants for its online MBA, Information Management, and Business Analytics Master's programs. Learn more about the W.P. Carey business degrees online. For more information, text RANK to 79645. That's R-A-N-K to 79645.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is Cam Kashani. She's the godmother of Silicon Beach and the co-founder of CoXL. It's a pleasure to have you on the show with us.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
So, godmother of Silicon Beach, how'd you get that name? And then tell us about your company.
Godmother of Silicon Beach is a name they gave me, and I gracefully decided to take it. I previously started the first co-working space in Los Angeles back in early 2010, when there was no LA tech scene, there was no Silicon Beach, nothing was happening here. It was literally like one event every 2 months with the same 90 people. So we started the first co-working space, and it basically was the, it was like ground zero for the LA tech ecosystem. Mm-hmm. We had over 1,400 entrepreneurs or alumni come through. We had Instacart and like Uber LA, Full Screen, all these really big guys came out of there.
Nice.
And it helped really push the community forward.
So you created that?
I did.
That's where it came from.
Yes.
Okay, awesome. And your company, CoXL, what do you guys do?
CoXL, the first human accelerator.
The first human accelerator. So what do you guys do? What do you?
The first and only.
That's like a mantra, but what do you guys actually do?
It's a 3-month program, one-on-one, where we accelerate you through your work. What we do is we build leaders.
And you do that how?
That's the secret. No, we create a customized plan for each person that comes through the program. And it depends on where they are, where they can be, what they can do. And in those 3 months, we tackle them, get them from point A to point B.
Very cool. How did you get into this whole space? Like, what compelled
human
you to want to start this business? Yeah. What compelled you to want to get into this business?
Oh, that's a great question. Spawned from my personal story.
Okay, well, share it for us.
All right. I'm going to get down and dirty
now.
Take you back to the beginning. I honestly never thought I was going to be an entrepreneur. And this is my third company I'm on now. I was
good
someone that was,
What did you think you were going to do?
I don't even know. I knew I would be successful because my parents are doctors. Like, my whole family is doctors. Yeah. Like, everybody.
So is that what you thought you were going to do, is become a doctor?
Actually, yeah. I wanted to be a plastic surgeon. Until I was like 12. And then I'm like, I don't want to be a doctor. That's
you wanted to be a plastic surgeon as a child growing up?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Because it had art. There was creation involved.
Gotcha.
Right?
Human acceleration.
Well, human acceleration we'll get into.
Okay.
But yeah, growing up, I never knew. I had a negative dialogue. I didn't believe in myself. I was someone that was bullied all my life. And
a lot of kids.
Like a lot of kids, yeah. But being an entrepreneur now and being where I am now, I never thought I would be. And what happened was my first company,
which I started like 4 years after college. My first job I was at, it was great. It was awesome. It was like cushy, yeah, getting a good paycheck and all that. It was a medical company. And I helped them incorporate the human element, as I call it. There's a theme to this. There's human everywhere.
Everywhere.
I helped them incorporate the human element as the marketing director. And what that meant was I was at this medical company and nobody knew why they were there. They were sitting there just doing their job. It was a super negative environment, very catty, just not a kind of place that I would definitely thrive in, that's for sure. So I brought it to the CEO's attention that this is like this. I told him that no one knows why they're here. Mm. Like, they're in the business of saving people's lives.
Yeah.
And no one knows this. He ended up agreeing. He held a meeting with the 60 plus employees at that time, asked that question, do you guys know why you're here? No one could answer it. So I ended up incorporating that into their entire business model and whatnot. We increased profits 60% over 4 years that I was there. They ended up getting acquired 2 years after I left. But I left to start my own startup, which failed on its face. Epic failure.
Like many people's first businesses, not everyone's.
I mean, everyone has to have one or 12, but no, it was pretty hardcore. 2 years, 200 grand and three customers.
Very cool.
Yeah.
The one that did well?
The one that did bad. Three customers isn't good.
200 grand depends on how much of that you get to keep.
Ah, sorry. 200 grand invested.
Valuable.
Oh, invested. Yes. Like $200,000 of our own money to build it. 2 years of our time and energy. Three customers in the end.
Okay, well, it sounds like you, like many entrepreneurs and business owners, didn't always start out successful and you're maybe a 5 or 10 or 15 year overnight success. I love that you shared that because it's very important for your story.
Yeah, failure.
The godmother of Silicon Beach is joining us, Cam Kashani. She's the co-founder of CoXL. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. What has been something on your journey that you feel like you had a big lesson or aha moment in? Was it one of your companies that failed? Was it a bad partnership? Was it?
No, it's all of the above. So Coloft, the business that I had previously started, I started with my ex-husband.
Okay.
All right. So there's a story here. We did that. It was great. It helped build the whole ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
4 years into it, I filed for divorce and he fired me. So I was fired from my own company. Mm. I didn't know that that was going to happen.
And Steve Jobs knew it was possible.
Yeah, this is true. But his was a different story.
Different story.
Different circumstances. Yeah. So that was like the period of time in my life where I just went into, where do I go? What do? I feel completely naked and stripped in the universe. I'm overnight like a single mom without an income. And I'm no longer Coloft Cam. Like, what do?
Yeah.
And I went through a really, really dark time. And during this time, I had an amazing woman who is now my business partner. Her name's Jasmine Hanaby. She's a globally renowned intuitive coach. And she came along and she basically helped build me back up from like literally being in the fetal position in my bed to working with the State Department in an 8-month period, working with ambassadors, interacting with royalty, helping ward off extremism on a global scale. And I didn't know that I could do that again or ever, to be honest. So the biggest takeaway from it was, wow, our minds, the way we think is everything. Mm-hmm. How you think about yourself, how you view situations, anything you want to do is possible. And you as a human being are an infinite possibility. It's a matter of, are you going to do the work to get there? And that's the story behind human acceleration.
Right? I love that. Yeah. That's how it all came together. So if somebody says, well, I just want to follow you and learn more about you, where can they do that?
So you can go to my company's website, which is coxl.com. That's COACCEL. And at Cam S. Kashani is what I am everywhere on social media.
Social media everywhere. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I appreciate you for coming on the show. And
thank you for having
sharing
me.
Your wisdom with our audience.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.